Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a 94 WIP afternoon show. That is Ike Reese. I'm Spike Eskin. We are at Chickies in South Philly. It is draft week. Enjoy all the pro football draft coverage at the official sports bar of the Eagles, Chickies and Pete's, online at chickiesandpetes.com. Now, we'll get to Elliot in just one moment, but I want to play a piece of sound because I would like Elliot to respond to it, too. I hope the audio is as good as when I was watching it because I think part of it is Howie's face. But there was a point at which Ruben Frank corrected something Howie said, and Howie got so irritated that the exchange really was gold to me. I loved it. Why don't you play that?
He's number two in receiving yards in the first 5 years of his career in NFL history. I mean, that's – what's that? He's number nine? He's not number two in the first 5 years?
No, he's behind like Moss, Rice. He's a pretty good company, but he's nine. I just looked it up.
All right, Rube, stop talking. let me roll. The nine's good. Nine's good, too. Anyway, he's...
He tried to play it off.
Yeah.
Like he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
He did not think it was
not
funny.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Like, let me cook.
Yeah, let me cook.
Yeah. You can correct it later.
After the press conference.
Yes, after the press conference.
This Elliot Shore Parks call-in is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars or trucks and sold cheap, cheap. Elliot Shore Parks. Now, Elliot, have you ever had to correct Howie and gotten that sort of treatment?
Well, I think I'm going to correct him on this call for his draft pick. But I think Howie learned the lesson. If you come at Rube, you best not miss. So, yep. You know, I think it was a startling moment for Howie.
Now, Elliot, you had talked about your desire was offensive line. Of course, they sat there and they took Mitchell at 22. And you had also made the point that they have enough cornerbacks, that this isn't a position of need. What did you think of the pick?
So, for me, it's not the pick I would have made. I like other cornerbacks better. If they were going to take a corner, I like Kool-Aid better. I like Arnold better. I like Nate Wiggins better. I also like the young guys on the roster apparently more than they do because I think Kiwi Ringo has a bright future. I like Eli Ricks. But it's not my evaluation, right? Like, if they feel Clinton Mitchell is the best corner in the draft, then I respect them taking that big swing. And Howie, you know, more or less said last night that to take a guy out of a small school like that, they have to feel he's really special. So I view Quinion, to me, not the pick I would have made, and I have my hesitation, but I can't respect taking a big swing if it's what you believe.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's here, Elliot, is that there's a lack of firsthand knowledge from a lot of us as football fans, is we just don't watch a lot of MAC football and haven't seen a lot of the Toledo Rockets playing. And when you have guys on the board from bigger schools that people may have watched and know a little bit more about, I think the initial fear from some who may still be reluctant about the pick is, are we doing we're the smartest team here, we know what we're doing, versus taking the obvious pick, which the last few years the Eagles have done very well by taking sort of the obvious pick, so to speak. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, although I agree with it, but Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith look like questions at this point. So who knows?
I'm saying people didn't question it because of the schools they played at.
Yep. And look, N'Kobe's not done much, but you don't hear much criticism about that pick because people like that he came from a big school. Yep. My concerns with Quinion Mitchell are twofold. One, it matters to me that he's coming from a small school. I know they say he went to the Senior Bowl and he had an outstanding week and he lined up against great receivers and did well. That's a small sample size. Guys like Kool-Aid, Nate Wiggins, Kerryon Arnold, they played against better competition for multiple seasons, or at least one full season where they played a ton of snaps. So I just think the body of work is more impressive with those corners. And I also think those guys played more press coverage. I know that in today's NFL and with Vic Fangio, they are going to do a lot of what Quinyon did at Toledo, which is line up 10 yards back, break on the ball. But I just think it's easier to be the guy that lines up and makes a jump on a receiver and a quarterback in the MAC than it is in the NFL. Like, if his calling card is going to be using his instincts and jumping on passes, well, he's got a big adjustment coming. So I think he's a great athlete. The combination of his speed and strength is rare, but the jump is so big, I would have been worried about using a premium asset on such a gamble.
Well, but isn't, just to play devil's advocate here, isn't the fact that the cornerback room is as full as it is sort of provide him a soft landing spot in that he does not have to come in and have everything on his shoulders? I almost think that this year gives him a chance to almost bridge that gap between, you know, because he wasn't playing at a big school, bridge that gap between small school and the NFL.
Well, so my thing with that is he's the oldest of all the corners that we're talking about. I mean, he's, you know, I think 23 or about to be 23. These other corners, Nate Wiggins, I think, is still 20.
Yeah, 23. He's headed to the retirement home.
Yeah. Well, 23. I'm just saying it matters if you're talking about sitting another year. And this time of year, that stuff does matter when talking about prospects. So so for one, I would say that. But two, the reason I don't want him to take an offensive tackle is because I don't think having your first-round pick sit for a year is good. Now, I don't think Quinyon Mitchell is going to sit. I think he's going to play. But if week two or three, Keely Ringo's beating him out, Blaze is playing, Bradbury was good, Rodgers ends up beating a steal, then, you know, then the pick is not as good because it wasn't as big of a need. And I just don't think corner is as big of a need as other people, which is probably also why I'm not as high on the pick.
Yeah. See, I think you're blinded by that and sort of that stance that you've taken. This kid is going to be a starter. I don't know if it's going to be day one or first game of the season, but I'd be shocked if he's not a starter by the time this season ends. These young players that are on the roster now, I like them, but they don't necessarily have the skill set that this young man has. They don't have the necessary speed that he has, the reaction time, his ability to come up and tackle, because if they did, coming from the schools they played at, they would have been first-round picks. So they don't have the skill level that this young man has. I think he comes in, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make a decision to move on from Bradbury and this kid is the starter coming out of training camp. I mean, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? You just traded away Hassan Reddick because you want Nolan Smith to get on the field, and he played. He didn't do much last year, but they're going to force him on the field. You took this kid in the first round. He needs to play this year and play a lot, by the way.
I 100% agree with you. I think he has to be the starting cornerback, if not week one, like very early on. This can't be Nolan Smith where, well, actually, you know, Slay and Bradbury played so well, we didn't play him. Like, no, he's a first-round pick. He has to be out on the field. So I 100% agree with that. As to Bradbury and Slay, I do wonder what this means for them. I don't think Slay is going to be moved, and Bradbury very well could be. But if they get to camp and Mitchell looks awesome, Ringo looks awesome, Rick looks awesome, Rodgers looks awesome, and these guys that are way younger, like they want to get them on the field, the Eagles do save money after June 1st if they move on from Bradbury, and I'm pretty sure with Slay as well, as a June 1st cut. So that is one thing to watch in training camp, that there are a lot of young guys in the corner group that are intriguing. They have a lot of bodies right now, and they might be facing the decision, do you keep one more year of Slay or Bradbury, or do you risk a player that's younger going through waivers?
Now, do you want this put into the insider of the year category? Is this sort of a report here?
That's up to Elliot.
That's what I'm asking, Elliot. I'm asking, does he want that? Is he stamping that?
Yeah. Source tell you?
We have so many rules now. I'm not really sure what qualifies. What are you asking?
I'm just saying,
you kind of said that they may not be here after June 1st. So if you were to say, well, I expect the Eagles to move on from them after June 1st, like, that would qualify. It's informed speculation is where you're at right now.
Yeah, then I won't put it in the vault because this is just my opinion. This is not important.
Okay.
We're talking to Eagles Insider of the Year candidate Elliot Shore Parks. Now, it's one thing to get questioned by Ike or I, but when Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp are on the internet questioning you, well, that's a whole different story. Here's what Ochocinco had to say about our guy Elliot.
And then I retweeted some dude. Obviously, he's part of media in Philadelphia. He say, with the whatever pick we pick, Quinn Mitchell, I don't like that pick. I'm like, what do y'all be watching? What do y'all be watching? Do you actually watch film on the individuals that are being picked, or you just pick a name out of a hat that you just like that you think might fit on the team?
So what do you think, Elliot? Are you going to auction off the hat that you pick your analysis out of?
I mean, look, Deshaun Watson came at me last year, and now Chad Ochocinco. I can't tweet without. But, no, I mean, I don't like the pick. I don't know what people want. People are trying to bully me. In my mind. All these Eagles fans that I mentioned, like, I didn't like Quinyon Mitchell before they drafted him. I didn't want a corner before they made the pick. It would be dishonest of me to all of a sudden come on and go, actually, Mitchell's really, you know, I don't like the pick. And to Chad Ochocinco's point, I actually thought the video was interesting and how he talked about how he uses his footwork and all those things. So, yeah, I mean, Chad can say whatever he wants. I don't like the pick.
Philly media guy, Elliot Shore Parks.
Elliot Shore Parks, yeah.
So, Elliot, what do you hope they do in the second round?
You got to go offensive line. They should have done it last night. They need an offensive guard. I think there's some good options in the second round. But outside of that, if you're not going to go offensive line, then I think you go receiver. I think the best players on the board left are still at receiver. I really like Troy Franklin out of Oregon. 6'3". He's played in the slot. Great route runner. He averaged almost 18 yards a catch last year. I think he would really help the offense from a speed perspective. So there's good options on defense as well, but my preference would be on the offensive side as well.
There he is, Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, last time, I'm just double-checking. Do you want the Slay and Bradbury thing to be an official report or just informed speculation?
You guys can decide.
Whatever you can count it.
You know, it's all good.
I think it's informed speculation.
Okay.
It's
Go Birds Radio tomorrow? You guys doing it?
Absolutely. Well, we'll be on during the draft, but also I'm on tonight with Rob Ellis at 6 o'clock. So we'll be doing the second round as well. Yeah.
Right. Cool. All right. You can hear Elliot tonight. Thank you, Elliot. You can hear Elliot tonight and as well as Go Birds Radio tomorrow. 215-592-9494. We're talking about the Eagles draft as well as this big Sixers win last night. Joel Embiid dropping 50 points on one leg with one eye while injuring one of the Knicks and sending home all of those Knicks fans. I hope you enjoyed your stay in Philadelphia. I hope you got a cheaper Amtrak ticket. Cannon Cinnaminson, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up, man?
What's up, Ken?
I want to get to the draft, but on Joel real fast. My opinion of him has not changed, and that's not necessarily a negative. You know, he's such a polarizing figure in this city. He's like this generation's Donovan McNabb, where people, you know, get themselves in a camp on one side or the other, and there's nothing you could say that's going to move them out of the camp. I don't have a camp, so I just kind of watch. And so my opinion of him is what it has always been. He's a tremendously skilled player, and, you know, if he has to score 50 every night in order for them to beat the Knicks in this series, if they don't beat the Knicks, that's not Joel Embiid's fault. Like, you know, that's basically my opinion of him, and that hasn't changed.
Well, I think, Ken, I don't entirely disagree. He shouldn't have to score 50 every single night for him to win. But I do think that the difference between a superstar and not a superstar is that a superstar, when the team needs you to score 50, you do it. I think that is the difference. I don't think – he obviously can't keep this up. There hasn't been a player that could keep it up. The other thing I would say is, as far as I sort of lost it. Mm-hmm. I lost what I was going to say.
That's okay. It probably wasn't that interesting anyway. Let me.
That's
get to
a good
the draft.
Point. Good point, Ken. Why don't you get to the draft?
Your father would be proud of me.
Yeah, thank you, man.
This small school stuff, just like, they didn't draft him out of Widener, okay? I mean, there's guys all over the NFL, every field with an NFL team on Sunday, all over the place. There's guys from the MAC all over the league. They play good football in the MAC. And, you know, Isaiah Rodgers, who everybody seems to think is now the answer because he's no longer suspended, he went to UMass, okay? Sauce Gardner went to Cincinnati. Probably the best Eagle in the history of the franchise went to Cincinnati. You know, to compare this to Jalen Reagor, nobody but maybe the Eagles had a first-round grade on Jalen Reagor when they
made that pick.
No, I did not.
Didn't you?
No.
Was
no, I was actually a Denzel Mims guy that year.
Oh,
I was Denzel Mims, which is even worse.
Quinyon Mitchell was either one or two amongst the corners on basically everybody's board except Mel Kiper Jr., who had Cooper DeJean, and he's the same guy who had Ryan Leaf ahead of Peyton Manning. So, you know, as Bill Polian once said about Mel Kiper Jr., has he ever worn a jock, right? So I don't pay too much attention to Mel Kiper Jr. You put the tape on of this kid, and he jumps off the tape. And I was a Fatanu guy. I really wanted Fatanu. But as we were watching that draft unfold, and you were watching some of the just the stupid stuff that other franchises do, and you have to kind of just sit back and thank your lucky stars that we don't have like that Atlanta pick. That's the owner picking the quarterback. I mean that was as obvious as Arthur Blank wants to pick the quarterback. So we just signed Kirk Cousins to all this money. You know, Denver has no second round pick. So they draft Bo Nix as the 12th pick in the draft.
Ken, let me suggest to you, though, that the owner picking the quarterback doesn't just happen in Atlanta and may have happened in Philadelphia in previous years, and it may have worked out. I don't think people understand how much say that owners typically have and will. You know, whether it works out or doesn't work out sometimes is the final judgment of whether the owner is good or not. But Arthur Blank, I don't think the fact that the owner wanted a quarterback or wanted the quarterback means that it is a bad pick. Yeah, because I think it can happen and it can be a good pick. Now, I don't know that Arthur Blank is a good owner. I don't know how good Michael Penix Jr. is going to be. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest to you that when the Eagles took Carson Wentz, I believe that Jeffrey Lurie was a pretty significant part of that process.
I believe that, but I think everybody else was I think Carson fooled us, right? He obviously fooled Ike, right? So I think
didn't Carson, fool me. Carson was a great pick. We don't have a Super Bowl without Carson Wentz.
He fooled us all in terms of the kind of character he was. But we weren't talking about Quinyon Mitchell yesterday morning because everybody just assumed that we would have to trade up to, like, 10 to draft him. So he wasn't really part of the conversation for that reason, not because he's not a tremendous player. And I don't think we could have gotten any luckier than we got.
I appreciate the call, Ken. Thanks very much. You know, the thing on, to go back what he said about Embiid needing to score 50 for them to win,
mm-hmm.
Embiid scored 29 or 30 the first two games, and they were within, you know, a timeout call. And honestly, if he doesn't hurt himself in the final 2 minutes of the first half of the first game, they could be up 3-0. So I don't think they need him to score 50 points to win. To me, it's just impressive that he did. And it wasn't Embiid scoring 50 last night was great. To me, it was the energy that he brought to the game that I thought was more important than anything else. And I think his performance during these playoffs, his energy has been different. His vibe has been different. I think part of it is getting older. He's 30 years old now. He's a dad now. He's been through the wars. I think part of it is a team that is supportive of him. He's not pulling one way while the other guy's pulling the other guy. Like, look, as good, as productive as the Harden-Embiid thing was on the court,
yeah,
Harden wanted more offense to go through him, and Embiid wanted more offense to go through him. So this is just, I think it's the first time when the entire team is not only in on what he's doing, but looking for him to lead. And I think he is handling that in a good way, in a way that I didn't expect him to handle it. That's sort of where I am on the Embiid thing.
He has certainly shown up individually.
100%.
He has certainly shown up. And again, he's not even 100%, and he's been able to do what he's doing. They lose this series. I don't know. I mean, unless something drastically happens with him where somehow somebody cuts the faucet off of the scoring department, I don't see how this could be on him that they didn't win the series.
No, yeah. If he continues to play the way that he played.
It's clearly everybody else, not him.
100%. So coming up next, Tyrese Maxey actually had something to say about the tone, let's say, that Joel Embiid set, which includes the so-called dirty play that happened to Mitchell Robinson.
A little bit dirty.
We'll talk about that next. And as well, my scouting, I think, showed out pretty well at yesterday's first round. So we'll do a quick YouTube big board recap. We are at Chickies and Pete's, where baseball is better. Pre-game, in-game, or a post-game feast. Find a location near you online at chickiesandpete's.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike Reese. I'm Spike Eskin. We're at Chickies and Pete's on Packer Ave in South Philly. Nothing goes better with playoff basketball than Chickies and Pete's pregame, in-game, or postgame online at chickiesandpete's.com. Of course, the next Sixers game is on Sunday, 1 p.m. Weird tip time. Those games, those weekend, now that's good for me. as a guy who likes to go to bed early, you're going to put a 1 o'clock game. I don't mind that at all. But you always get weird vibes out of basketball games when they play weekend afternoons.
You don't know if they're going to wake up ready to go.
Right. I'd rather be home, by the way. Right. I'd rather they be home than away, but still weird vibes. Now, Embiid, nothing was controversial about Joel Embiid scoring 50 points. Everybody liked that. Mm-hmm. The controversy today, and a lot of Knicks fans crying, and just as a note to anyone who is listening, if you're listening and you're crying about the officiating at the end of Game 2, the reason I said not to cry about it is because then it's harder to make fun of Knicks fans for crying today.
Yep.
Crying about officiating is loser stuff. If you're crying... No one has ever won a championship or lost a championship because of officiating. You either win because you're good enough or you lose because you're not, but it's not because of the officiating. So my suggestion to you is we rise above it so we can make fun of the loser Knick fans today who are crying, oh, he tried to hurt him. He didn't try to hurt him, weirdo. In any case, the thing that I thought was most meaningful about what he did was how his teammates thought about it. Of course, we're at home thinking to ourselves, no, Joel, don't do that. You're going to get yourselves thrown out. But here's what Tyrese Maxey said about Joel Embiid setting the tone last night.
I think, I'll say this, his voice, his presence tonight was the biggest thing. I know he had 50, but like I just said that, just like it was nothing. But his voice, his presence, his passion was huge tonight. And he didn't let us get pushed around early. You know, they were trying to push us around and be aggressive with us. And he set the tone early, like, you know, we're not going for that. We're not going to get pushed around. And it kind of led to the entire group. And guys stepped in there, got big-time rebounds, got big-time loose balls, and it worked out for us.
Ike, this is what we've always wanted from Joel Embiid. That's how players talk about superstars. That's how players talk about leaders.
Yeah.
His voice set the tone. His passion set the tone. He wasn't going to let us get pushed around tonight. When have you ever heard that about Joel? Plenty of players historically, even Kevin Durant has talked about how talented Joel is, what a great scorer he is. Oh, I can't believe a guy who's 7'2", 275 pounds can Eurostep. Oh, can you believe a 7-footer like that is hitting threes, blah, blah, blah. We've heard about Joel's talent for years and years and years. It's never been a question. But the idea of him being a leader Yeah. Him setting the tone for younger players. Him being the one that they want to rally behind. Oh, he's got our back. It's new. And I truly believe that it means that Embiid has really turned a corner as a player.
He's growing up right in front of our eyes. I just listening to him from the end of the season through the Miami game, through the first couple of tough losses up there in New York, where he essentially guaranteed that they're going to win the series, even though now we see that he had Bell's palsy, and that's why he wasn't looking into the camera.
Yep.
So we didn't necessarily, at least I didn't, grab a hold of what he was saying after that game, because I'm like, dude, pick your head up. But even with all that, I'm watching him mature and develop his leadership, and he's getting more and more confident. Now, I may be the only one who sort of recognized a little bit of this leading up, and that's why I went back to the end of the season through the first game, is that I thought Joel at times was almost setting up an excuse if they don't win. I shouldn't be playing. I'm out there. I'm hurt. I'm giving it everything. I was like, just play, big dog. Just play. I don't need to hear all of that. But even with that, I've heard less and less of that each game. And what you've heard more of is him saying, I got this. I got this. We're going to win this game. And he needed to say that for a couple reasons. His teammates needed to hear him say that, meaning that he still has confidence in his teammates. Even, and I'm talking about the ones that's struggling.
Yep.
So they needed to hear him say that. Secondly, and probably just as important, this fan base needed to hear it. Like, we needed to hear it. Because people, after the second game, you could tell the negative was starting to come out a little bit. And it was starting to be the annual pal on Joel Embiid. You'll never win with him. You got to trade him after this season. So what he's been doing is trying to reassure everyone. It's not the same. I'm not the same. This is not going to end the same way as it has, at least as long as I can help it. I'm going to die trying to make sure this does not happen this year. And how could you not feel some sort of confidence from that?
Do you believe that Embiid has turned a corner? 215-592-9494. And to be honest with you, aside from a championship, which is what everybody wants, I think what everyone wanted from him is, if you lose, we want to know that you left everything out there, that you did everything you could. And he's played with injuries before and all those sorts of things, but it's just different this year. And I was critical of the team for not disclosing. I've been on the show. I've been all week. I've been, what's wrong with the eye? What's wrong with the eye? What's wrong with the eye? What's wrong with the eye?
Yep.
But his not
basically forced the Sixers to do something about it.
Well, they had to say something. It was Woj that said it last night. Yeah. But I do give him credit because he always does want, Embiid always does want that sort of credit for playing while injured.
Yep.
But the Bell's palsy thing happened, and Nurse denied that there was anything wrong. He never said that there was anything wrong.
True.
You know, he didn't have
to.
And when everyone was criticizing him for having his head down,
yep.
Charles Barkley,
including me, including you, including Jack. And I love him.
Everyone saying, well, tons of Knicks fans, well, look him in the face. Look him in the face.
Right.
Why don't you have your head up? But didn't say a word. And I thought that is a bit of a sign of him growing up as well. So I've been really impressed with him. I do think he needs to finish the job, but I've been really, really impressed
with
him.
That's the only thing that I'll say. Don't make us eat these words.
Yep. Oh, yeah, because trust me, they will be repurposed
on the
internet.
Yes,
the
people are waiting on us, yes. Exactly, so I completely agree with you there.
So we will get to how I performed with my big board yesterday in the first round right after we talk to Mr. Chuck from Mount Airy. You're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, what up, Spikey, Spikey? Yo, Ikey, Ikey.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, right? It's safe to say that you guys are the vice president and president of the Joel Embiid Club, right?
We are.
Okay, so can I say this, right? I'm not trying to get in. I'm not trying to get in, okay? So you guys got to worry about that. I'm on the outside looking in. But what I want to say, okay, I'm going to make a proclamation.
Uh-oh.
I want to apologize.
Oh!
Breaking new.
I want to apologize to one Joel Embiid. You know
wow.
what I mean? Yeah.
And I want to apologize. That is big, Chuck. Pause.
And I want to apologize to Joel Embiid supporters. I got nothing after this playoff series, win, lose, or draw. Got nothing but respect for that guy. You know what I mean? Just after this year. You know what I mean? And I look forward to. Well, I'll give you that a little later. I'm not going to say that. You know what I mean? I was going to say I look forward to next year playing with him, but I'll give you that later. All right? It's a little too much now.
Yeah.
But I apologize.
You know what, though, Chuck?
His supporters of Joel.
Outside of the apology, which is very honorable of you.
Absolutely.
But what you've always done is you've put the challenge out there for him to actually stand up and do the things he's doing right now. I mean, you've always put that challenge out there for him.
That's all I wanted him to do. I love the 76ers. Unlike those 45% of fans that was down there that sold their tickets. I love Joel Embiid. I'm not Joel Embiid, but I love the 76ers. I like to love Joel Embiid. Now, I mean, I'm being honest with you. I would like to love Joel Embiid, but some of the stuff I couldn't get with. I can get with this guy right now. You know what I mean? Playing through one eye, one leg, you know, give a, you know, AI-like effort yesterday, 50 points yesterday with my man in the house. Max, he got his award. You know, it felt good yesterday, man. And I don't give a damn about what the Knicks fans think about Mitchell Robinson and his knee, because these guys are trying to whack Joel Embiid and hurt him all game. I'm glad he stood up for himself. You know what I mean? It showed toughness, it showed grit, and it showed the type of play that I could back, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, you know, you let bygones be bygones. You know, only, you know, and I'm going to lay off the guy a little bit more because he's showing me something, man. Like, this is, you know, come back from a 2-0 hole, you lead of the team, you know, and just have a performance like that. It got me up yesterday, man. And I couldn't be more proud of Joel and what he's doing right now for the city and for the Philadelphia 76ers, man. And hey, Ike, listen, I ran into Greg Anthony, too. And he said, Nick, Spike, and he don't even believe in his own team. He said they're gonna lose the series in six.
I love it. And honestly, yeah. Chuck, what a momentous occasion. And it takes a big man to apologize, to say that he has changed your mind. So if that isn't a sign, we've been looking for a sign that Embiid really has changed. Chuck changing his ways on Embiid.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That might be the sign that we were looking for. What did you think of the Eagles pick last night, Chuck?
Well, you still got to take those corny-ass sneakers off. You know,
Look, man, who knows what he's getting paid to wear the Skechers?
Exactly.
They pay me enough. I'll wear the Skechers, too.
They paid millions. Hey, well, the Eagles, I wanted Kool-Aid. I wanted Kool-Aid McKinstry. Didn't get him. So, you know, I'm happy with this pick. What I'm going to say. We wait and see, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's about all we can do.
At least they addressed the position that you wanted to address.
Yeah, but I tell you one shocker, though, is A.J. signed that 3-year deal. That's nobody's really talking about that. I didn't expect him to, out of all the stuff that he went through the offseason, you know, I expect him to come back, and the Eagles want to sign him so quickly, and he wanted to be here. So I'm happy that he's locked in the fold. We locked Devontae Smith up. There's a lot of good things happening in Philadelphia right now, man. And I want to say to the fans out there, man, please, but I can't recognize you guys anymore. Hey, Spike, what's going on, man? Please send out a public announcement to these people to not sell their tickets to Knicks fans. Like, we need this place rocking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't sell your tickets.
Don't do that, man. You know, Chuck, and thank you for the call, Chuck. Great call from Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, I'll talk about this in a second. We were going to talk about this later, but I'll talk about it in a second. Right after I tell you. Now, this is my favorite time of year. From a weather standpoint.
Okay.
And you might say to yourself, well, of course, you know, it's 65 degrees, sunny, breezy.
It's pretty nice outside.
But the reason I like it the most is that my electricity bills are the lowest.
Ah.
Wife won't turn on the air. Mm-mm. We don't have to turn on the heat.
Mm-mm.
But you know what's coming. What's coming is the heat. And when there's the heat, the AC goes up. And when the AC goes up and you have old drafty windows that don't keep the cool air in, what happens is that you have to keep the AC on more and your bills go up. And you've been putting off replacing the windows because you're like, it's going to be too expensive. It's a pain in the ass. I'm telling you, it won't be a pain in the ass. It won't be too expensive when you go Gaida. What they're going to do is give you 20% off all windows and doors, and they'll let you start your project with no money down and up to 3 years to pay them off interest-free. It's not just windows where you go Gaida. You need a new entry door, go Gaida. You need a new patio door, go Gaida. They're going to take care of all of it. They're going to give you 20% off. They're going to make it easy on you. And they're going to let you pay off your project interest-free for up to 3 years. Restrictions apply. Offer is good for a limited time. What are you waiting for? It's time that you go Gaida. Call today to schedule a free in-home estimate at 877-GO-GAIDA or visit goguida.com. GoGaida.com. GoGaida. GoGaida.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Sixers legend, World Be Free.
I know. I was talking the whole time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say hi.
It's all good. Yes. Yeah. Friend of the show, listens to the show all the time.
Oh, is he a listener?
Yeah, yeah, he's a listener. He's a listener.
Amazing.
He's not a caller, but he's a listener.
That's cool.
Everybody's a listener, Spike.
John Starks is the World Be Free of the Knicks. I think I had mentioned that. That's why he's there all the time.
Does not dress as well as World Be Free, though.
No, not even close. Not even close. So before we get to the YouTube Big Board recap, mm-hmm. you know, Chuck brought up the fans. I think my opinion on this may surprise you and may surprise others. First of all, I understand why Knicks fans come down here, because they can't get
tickets at Madison Square Garden.
They can't afford the tickets at Madison Square Garden. You got Matthew Modine, Ben Stiller, and Turtle from Entourage, you know, spending $15,000 a ticket. It screws up the cost of the rest of the tickets. I get it why you come down here. I don't blame Knicks fans for doing it. We've taken over enough road arenas to where I get it. And I actually, for Game 3, do not blame a Sixers fan for selling their tickets. I truly don't. Mm. I think over the years, this team has given you enough reasons to doubt them. Joel, even though I have had faith, Joel Embiid has given you enough reason to doubt him. And when they go down 0-2 in the first two games, and you're thinking to yourself, I can either double my money on my ticket or slog down to the Wells Fargo Center, spend another however much on parking, another however much on concessions, just to watch them go down 3-0 when I don't trust in them anyway. Like, I kind of get it. I wish it wasn't that way. I was sort of embarrassed. But I feel like, at the same time, the Sixers have earned where they were last night with the crowd. Now, at this point, I feel like they have given you a reason to believe. I feel like they've given you a reason to believe they're going to win this series, they're going to win on Sunday, and that you shouldn't sell your ticket.
Yeah.
And I have...
It's 1 o'clock Sunday. What else are you doing?
Right. I have empathy for people who are in that situation. Those tickets are expensive. They you know, you can be a fan through the good times and bad times. Doesn't mean you need to spend $500 for a pair of tickets through good times and bad times.
Yeah.
So I understand that frustration, but I think they've given people a reason to go now, and a reason not to sell them. And I think at this point, it is a much fairer ask to not to ask them to sell tickets to Game 4 as it was for Game 3.
Yeah, Sunday is a huge game.
It's enormous.
You win that game Sunday, and I guarantee you doubt starts to creep into the Knicks' mind.
Doubt today.
They already didn't want to have to face the Sixers in the first place, and they realized they were lucky to get out of New York with a 2-0 lead.
Yep.
And last night, they saw the big fella go off. And so Sunday is going to be a huge game, man. Huge momentum swinging game in this series, and then we go back up to New York for Game 5, and we'll see. Because the Sixers feel like they can win up there.
They could have twice. And as one Jack Fritz would say, don't let the Sixers get hot.
Don't let them get hot.
Don't let them get hot.
I want to apologize to one Joel Embiid.
I love it.
Thanks for cutting that, Ben.
So it is time for your YouTube Big Board recap. I only scout using YouTube. I don't watch college football, but I scouted all the players using YouTube, and I believe that how the first round went was an affirmation of my YouTube scouting. Let's talk about the guys that went and did not go yesterday.
Okay.
J.C. Latham, I had him as my second-ranked offensive lineman, went 7. Not bad.
But he was the second offensive lineman to go.
There you go.
He was the second one to go?
Yeah. Now, my first one went a little later, but my first one was not ranked as high nationally.
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr., I had as my third quarterback, went 8th overall.
Yep.
Not bad at all.
Yep.
Rome Odunze went 9th. I had him as my number one ranked wide receiver. What did he get? Was he the second?
Second wide receiver.
Yep. To Marvin Harrison Jr.,
yep.
Bo Nix. I think I was out on a limb having him as my number two quarterback.
He was out on a twig, not a limb, a twig.
I had him ranked number two. He went 12 to Denver. That's a good call by me. I'm sorry.
Just him going in the first round was
enormous.
Oh, yeah.
The Toolsy Amarius Mims, who is, I think, 6'8", 350, went 18th. I had him as my number one ranked offensive lineman. Went to the Niners.
Oh, right. Bengals.
Right, went to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Mitchell, I had the Eagles draft pick. I had as my number three cornerback, went number 22. And then Nate Wiggins, who was my number one ranked cornerback, went 30th overall. So looking to see, now obviously I do like one Spencer Rattler, and I do have a bunch of other players, so we'll see where they go now. But not a bad day for the YouTube Big Board. That's what I'll have to say.
I got to tell you, for a guy who does not watch college football, you did a good job, man.
Yeah, that's what I like
job.
To hear.
You did, man.
You shouldn't encourage me like that.
Well.
It just means I got to do more of this stuff.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, man.
Rios in North Philly. Uh-oh. Keep it clean, Rios.
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What up?
What up, Rios?
Yo, look, check it out. Let me just start out with this first, you know what I mean? So, Eagles talk. The A.J. Brown thing before the draft happened. Look, don't need no more talk or anything about A.J. Brown. Our guy is here to damn at the receiver position, just bully and punish people on the opposing defense, as well as we got Saquon Barkley to do that while he's damn running the ball. So, we don't need no more talk on that. As to the pick, let me tell you, I'm watching a game. I'm watching, I'm going back and forth, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, I said, attaboy, Howie, because I was looking for defense. I want freaking defense regardless of whatever it is. I don't know too much about the guy, but, yo, hearing Nick Saban or what he had to say about him, that gives me a little bit more where I feel good about it. Because, man, when it comes to defense, nothing is more Philadelphia than a damn badass, greedy, and violent defense. You know what time it is. You know what I'm talking about. I know what you want, man. You want some decapitation on people on the field. You know what I mean? I know what you want. I know what you like, and that's what we like. Nothing is more Philadelphia than that. So I'm just happy with it. Hope we get some guys, and I hope we get a damn greedy and violent freaking defense. Now,
violence gets results.
Violence
gets results.
Violence definitely gets results. I see, man, you already know what time, man. Damn. Yo, don't hype. Yo, hold on. I don't want to run through my daughter. She's right here. Look, check it out. Anyway, look, man, Sixers and B, let me tell you something. Y'all speaking on how he's growing before our eyes. That's what I'm talking about. None of the freaking sucker stuff. I like how he got, look, you got cats who's within the area trying to come back and rough something up while they with the New York Knicks. And he stood right there. Number one, all of our guys better damn stand behind Joel Embiid. He's still right there. It's like right now, he's tired. He's tired of his own sucker stuff. He's tired of anybody trying to bully his freaking team. Now he's taking freaking charge, and I like it. Look, the only thing I say on him, I love when how they talking junk about the dude jumped up. He tried to hurt him. Just, hey, slow down on that part because we don't need you to go, but I like you pushing him. I like you getting in people's face. I'm like, yo, what you think? What time it is? You ain't going to come up in here and bully us. We the freaking bullies. We're freaking Philadelphia. And as for, like, Tyrese Maxey, he's saying, hey, and B set the tone. Huh? For us to not get bullied? Well, damn it. If you want to be number two, then you better set the damn tone and stop freaking smiling and get in people's face, too. That we about it. It ain't about if you can kick any of them guys' ass, but don't be a freaking punk. Let's go out there and not let these guys bully us. And, yo, the crowd, yo, I don't care if there's more New York Knicks fans, but we better just stand loud. I don't like that theory, what we've seen there, but we need to stand tall and, yo, give it to these guys. Yo, we coming at they next, man. We coming at they next. Ain't no friendship right now. You know what I mean? Hey, y'all take care. I love y'all, gentlemen. Peace.
Have a good weekend, Rios.
Excellent call from Rios.
That's what you need going into the weekend.
Excellent call from Rios. Rios always has energy. Sometimes he's a little unfocused. Occasionally he says a bad word. We got to dump out of him. That's a 10 out of 10, I thought, call from Rios, right?
And this is off-season Rios.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine the in-season Rios. I mean, between the calls from Chuck and Rios there, we're on things are feeling good. Things are feeling real good.
I got one minor complaint about last night.
Oh, no.
Minor complaint.
Okay.
I understand what they were trying to do, I guess. Good gesture. Probably a logical reason behind it. But the Jordan Mailata pick from down below.
From Australia. not crotch. He didn't make the pick from his nether regions. He did it from his home of Australia.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, just...
Yes.
A little weird.
Yeah. Could we just have a commissioner get a call? I understand they do it for second, third, and fourth round where they have guys come up.
Yeah.
But I got to go all the way to Australia.
Well, I think with the NFL is obsessed with being global.
Global, yes.
They got to be
global.
Good evening to those of you from the beautiful land down under.
I would have loved to go. They didn't invite me. I had heard that they have a whole team of Eagles people down there. I've always wanted to go to Australia. Nobody invited me.
So, the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Did they text him the pick?
Oh, yeah, because he had a no.
Did they give him five cards?
Yes, just in case.
Just in case.
And if they did, we would know the rest of... We got to find out who else is on the card.
Well, he's sworn to secrecy.
Well, you get him in the corner, you know.
But I am wondering... A
couple of drinks in him.
Like, how do we get this transition? Like, how did this happen?
I do want to know the mechanics of that. I know Spuds is down there. Maybe he can tell us how it worked when he gets back.
They had to text him, right?
I think, right?
Well, did you see when they couldn't get a hold of Kenyon Mitchell?
No, because I was watching,
oh, you was watching the
Sixers.
Game.
I didn't see the draft.
Oh, yeah,
stuff
you can see
after.
On the draft. Like, Howie's on the phone, and I said it during the draft. I said, whoever they're calling, they can't get a hold of him right now.
And they couldn't get a hold of Mitchell.
Yeah, so he, I think they called him on his second phone.
I don't. You know, we're talking about being a good culture guy. Having two phones is sketchy anyway. Why has he got two phones?
He's important, I guess.
I don't know. That's why you have two phones.
Well, I don't know if he had two phones. Okay. They called him on a different phone.
Two numbers that they have for him. Okay. Twitter poll of the day brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Who's calling you on the other phone, buddy? It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The second Twitter poll of the day, how would you grade the Quinyon Mitchell pick? A, B, C, or D? How many people do you think said A, Ike?
Let's go with 30%.
79% A. Everybody is birds out, bleeding green today.
I thought B would be
B. No.
Oh, they went all with the A's. Okay.
Everybody's happy.
Okay.
Now, Rios did mention the Eagles re-signing A.J. Brown. They signed him to an extension yesterday. Coming up next, first, we will hear what Howie had to say about the A.J. Brown extension and how it affected the Eagles' Insider of the Year rankings. Now, we won't give you new rankings, but we are going to give you a first-round recap of how everyone did who is in the running. That is coming up next on the afternoon show on WIP, live from Chickies and Pete's on Packer Ave in South Philly.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.